This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we're back. Final hour of VSiN Prime Time. The MVP is a little quiet tonight. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the Thunder down 3, 60-57 at halftime. Pacers up. The live line at DraftKings, Thunder minus 1.5, total 226.5. And Moneyline minus 140 if you still think OKC is going to win and even this series tonight. Will Hill, my co-host, has been a very eventful first half. It's been a great, really, NBA Finals series. We're 3.5 games into it. And don't you think that the Thunder need to pull this out if they're going to win the NBA championship? Because I think if the Pacers win tonight, the Pacers are going to be your NBA champs.
I would agree. Now, with 5 at home and 7 at home, it's always a different feel, a different temperature when the better team, the higher seed, has home court and they're down 3-1. If it was the other way around and the Pacers were down 3-1, you feel like, man, we got to win 5 on the road, 7 on the road, plus 6 at home. That's asking a lot. With 5 and 7 at home, you just figure out if we can somehow win our home games and steal game 6, it's possible. But yes, I think tonight obviously goes a long way towards crowning a champion. Let me ask you this. What will the series line be if the Pacers do win this game tonight?
I think it's going to swing to about a pick'em. I think as of right now.
3-1, only a pick'em?
I think as of right now, Pacers would be slight favorites. Well, like you said, Thunder's going to have 2 of the next 3 at home.
Yeah.
I would say, and right now I believe the Thunder are like minus 200, Pacers plus, or Thunder minus, 230, Pacers plus 190. Right, going into tonight's game?
Yep. And DraftKings does a good job updating these. We have a current series price, champion price. OKC minus $1.70, Pacers plus $1.40.
Well, Thunder's going to be obviously heavily favored in game 5 in OKC, right? So then you're saying the series is going to be 3-2. Going back to Indy for game 6, Thunder would be favored again. Game 7, Thunder would be big favorites again. So I don't know. I still think it's somewhere around pick'em. I don't know. It kind of depends which what the book needs too in terms of liability. But I would say right around pick'em or maybe even Pacers minus 120 at the most. But it's hard to say that when you know the Thunder are going to be big favorites in all 3 games.
Sure.
I would also say, Will, that the Pacers can win on the road. They won in Cleveland. They won in New York. They've won in Oklahoma City, right? So it's no lock that the Pacers are going to go to OKC and mail it in and get beat because this team is fearless. I think the Pacers believe they can win anywhere. If they win tonight, one game away from the NBA championship, I would not want to bet against the Pacers winning this whole thing. First of all, I feel more confident than ever than my pre-finals opinion that the OKC has been way overrated in the betting market. And we're not seeing anything here in the first half tonight to dispute that, right?
No, we are not. OKC, dodged the first bullet, answered the first punch after being down 20-12. They eventually wrestled the lead away with a, parade to the free throw line, led 50-45. But OKC was not able to maintain that lead. Indy answered that punch and now lead by 3 going into the half here, going into the break. Should be an awesome second half. So much on the line. This would this would be an epic choke by the Thunder as $7-8 favorites, even though they're a young team. To lose a series like this, everyone crowning you a dynasty, everyone just kind of forking you, penciling you in here towards an NBA championship, to lose this series would be a bad look, but we're a long way from there. And this should be an awesome second half of what's been an exciting game for us. It's been a great sports day. U.S. Open, Yankees, Red Sox, College World Series, all the different baseball. I don't know if you saw this, but the Rockies have blown a lead, which I can't believe. So it's been an eventful day here.
Good segue, Will. A lot to update aside from the NBA. And we're going to get to Charles Barkley here in a few minutes too, because Barkley had some, sharp opinions on the New York Knicks and what they did with their coaching situation. But we'll get to that in a moment. So if you have not heard, if you live in a cave or under a rock somewhere, VSiN has a crew out in Omaha this week for the College World Series. Will, have you heard about this? Have you heard about the Jell-O Shot Challenge? Have you heard about Rocco's Bar?
I have. I'm happy for those guys and girls that are out there. I'm a little bit jealous. It would be a lot of fun. I'm fascinated where you and I would come in on these hypothetical odds for the Jell-O Shot contest. But I'm sure everyone's having a good time, and I listened to a couple of the shows there. Follow the Money and Money Moves from Omaha today. They did a fantastic job covering it. So a good idea, good idea for this road trip. It's been a lot of fun to listen to so far.
How about this game right now? We're in the ninth inning. Oregon State leads Louisville 3-1. Cardinals just got a leadoff triple. So we got some excitement here and some betting drama in the Louisville-Oregon State game. Two-run lead for the Beavers, but the Cardinals have a runner on third with no outs here in the ninth inning. And again, a lot of money on Oregon State tonight. Opened around minus 160, 170. Closed at $2. Aaron Moore, the professor at VSIN, had a best bet under the total of 10 tonight. So Aaron Moore looking good in this Louisville-Oregon State game in Omaha. Let's talk about Yankees-Red Sox here for a minute. Aaron Judge hit his 26th homer. As you noted, Will Hill, he was 0-for-6 with six strikeouts against Garrett Crochet before he connected in the ninth inning for a solo shot to tie the game at 1. Crochet left the game after 97 pitches. Yankees somehow screwed things up here in the 10th. Tell us what happened with Anthony Volpe and what happened with the Yankees in the top of the 10th.
Yeah, and it looks like we are going to get an infield single here from Louisville. So a 3-2 game with the tying run is now on base. Go-ahead run is at the plate. But terrible base running, just terrible fundamentals, which has been a constant over the Aaron Boone tenure here. 8-9 years he's been the manager. Ghost runner on second, as we know. Nobody out. Volpe caught stealing third base with nobody out. That's just a cardinal sin in baseball. You don't make the first or last out of an inning at third base. It's just the value's not there. Stupid play.
Why are you trying to steal third with no outs?
So stupid. Absolutely ridiculous. With one out, you know what? It's a good baseball play. You could score on a sac fly. With nobody out, you just got too many ways to score. It's not worth it. The risk is not worth it. It's a bad bet. So the Yankees don't score. But they're an out away from getting out of it themselves here in the bottom half of the 10th. It's amazing how hard it is for these teams to get the ghost runner home at times. So Yankees unable to score top of the 10th with the ghost runner. Boston, two outs now, runners on the corners. Tim Hill is in here for the Yankees looking to extend this game to an 11th inning.
Tim Hill, the tall lefty, runners on the corners and two outs. And that pitch is in the dirt now. Devers takes second base. Inconsequential. Red Sox winning run, potential winning run, standing on third base with two outs here in the bottom of the 10th. And something has happened. The screen just went blank. What happened?
We're about to find out. I think it's
Looked like it was going to be a pop-up, but the ball drifted into the seats, so nothing going on right now.
From Navarez, who's had a tremendous year, the former Yankee, the Yankees gave him away as a throwaway deal. He's turned into, you know, an all-star caliber catcher here. Not one of Brian Cashman's better moves here, as that looks really bad. Yankees and Red Sox never do deals to begin with, but he's a guy who was just off the scrap heap and has been a tremendous player here for the Red Sox the first half of the season.
We should mention, for those not lucky enough to watch the game as we are here in the studio, Aaron Boone was fuming mad over something that happened. He came out of the dugout. He said, "This is BS," and he threw his gum. You know, he chews gum all day, all night, constantly chews gum. He actually threw his gum, and, Will, that was enough. He crossed the line. The ump threw him out. You can't throw your gum. Aaron Boone's been tossed from this game.
When you chew gum as aggressively as Aaron Boone chews it, eventually it loses its flavor. So the gum must have been out of flavor at that point. Boone, frustrated with his gum, frustrated with the umpires. A couple of reviews went against them.
Frustrated with losing this game. Yankees just lost.
They lost. I just flipped over to the basketball.
Red Sox just hit a shot off the Green Monster. Again, yeah. Boone goes to the bullpen and it backfires. Red Sox win 2-1, and that's it. You know, we're going to save Charles Barkley here for right after the break. We're back in action here in Indianapolis, by the way. 61-57. Pacers, Pascal Siakam hits both free throws. 5-point lead for the Pacers to open up here the second quarter. But, yeah, it's final. Garrett Crochet and the Red Sox, minus 135, get the win over the Yankees in 10 innings, 2-1. Tim Hill gives up a bomb off the Green Monster, and Aaron Boone's watching that one from the clubhouse after he gets tossed for throwing his gum. Will, when Aaron Boone goes to the bullpen, I just expect bad things to happen. And then once again, that's what happened tonight. And, by the way, for all those people who are trashing the Red Sox and saying they're no good – and the Yankees are going to run away with the division. Will, Red Sox have won 3 of 4 against the Yankees this season.
They have, and boy, if you're the Yankees, you want to see anybody else once it comes time for the playoffs. Give me one of those AL Central teams, whether it's the Twins, the Tigers, the Royals. You don't want to see Devers. You don't want to see Cora. This Red Sox team has zero fear of the Yankees. They hit well in that ballpark. That's a tough place to win in Fenway. That would be a very dangerous series if Boston's able to make a rally here in the second half of the season, the latter part of the season, get in the playoffs. That's a very dangerous team if they're able to get in, especially with Crochet at the top of the rotation.
Eric Crochet, you know what? We had a viewer send me a very good tweet. Michael Burns said, come on, Matt. Max Fried was a big signing for the Yankees. I wanted Garrett Crochet. I'm happy with Fried. Will, I responded, Max Fried is great, but I wanted Crochet too. The boss spent big to make sure the Yankees would contend for titles. The Dodgers are doing that now. Is it unfair to ask for Crochet and Fried? I wanted it all. I want the Yankees. They're this close to winning a title in this Aaron Judge era. I think they had to make bold moves in the offseason. They did make some good moves. I wanted more. But at least the Yankees are in contention to win the American League again.
Not the first time they've let big-time talent go elsewhere. Chris Sale years ago helped the Red Sox win a title. Bryce Harper, Corey Seager, you go down the line. Freddie Freeman, they don't operate like they used to say the least.
Max Fried was an excellent signing. I wanted Garrett Crochet, too, and he's in Boston. And he's the ace for the Red Sox right now. 64-62, Pacers over the Thunder. You will hear from Charles Barkley and his opinion on the Knicks coaching job when we come back. Red Sox beat the Yankees in 10, 2-1. Giants and Dodgers underway. San Francisco up 1-0. Willie Adames with a homer off Yoshinobu Yamamoto in the first inning. And how about this? The Beavers have blown the lead. Oregon State led Louisville 3-1 going to the ninth in the College World Series. Cardinals have tied it up, and Louisville has a runner on first with two outs. So Oregon State pretty much led this entire game, is going to threatening to choke it in the ninth inning here with Louisville coming back to tie it at 3. Pacers and Thunder. Pacers up 68-64. Thunder's still the favorite on the live line at DraftKings. 1.5, though, and the money line down to minus 130. Will Hill, the live total down to 221.5. You were the one that said when the total got around 240, should you play it under now? That would have been a good bet under, because this total has dropped 19 points since you said that.
Hope you didn't rip up your under 227.5 ticket. That was looking like a bet that you regretted at first, and now it's looking like a hell of a bet. You can, even if you're so inclined, I think you said you have a small bet, so you're probably not looking to set up a middle, but you do have a 6-7 point middle here, depending on what happens in the next few seconds.
Well,
Thunder,
Pacers hit a
again,
3.
Again, do not score. Yeah, go ahead.
Pacers hit a 3, so.
Wow.
There you go. 71-64. Pascal Siakam with a 3, and now the Pacers have become favorites, I believe, for the first time tonight. Will, isn't that the first time we've seen an Indiana favored? It's minus 2.5.
First time I've seen it, even down 20-12, it was basically a toss-up OKC, like a small minus -125 favorite, but not the case anymore. This is crunch time here for the Thunder. Down 3-1 is a dangerous scenario, even though you get 5-7 at home potentially. A lot on the line. Now, they've been in this position before. Remember, they were down 2-1 at Denver in game 4, and they were down 8 in the fourth quarter, and they lived to tell about it. They rallied. That was a good Denver team, a game Denver team. But this is the finals. We'll see if they're up to the challenge again.
71-64, Pacers lead the Thunder. Yeah, this game's going to tighten up. There's no doubt about it. But we got a long way to go here, a long way to go. Live total 224.5, Pacers 2.5-point favorites, minus 130. There's no shame in getting knocked out by this Pacers team. And I think the New York Knicks management should have realized that. Unfortunately, Tom Thibodeau was given the boot. He was fired as Knicks coach after leading the Knicks on their deepest playoff run in 25 years. Well, I'm going to let Charles Barkley go off on the Knicks here. And Barkley did, he put it in perspective, I think, how bad this move was by the Knicks brass Here's Charles Barkley on NBA on TNT talking about Tibbs fired by the Knicks.
The Knicks got to be the stupidest damn people in the world. Like, you don't fire no good coach like that and don't have a plan. I mean, Tibbs did a hell of a job. Obviously, something's going on there, but you don't have a plan. And now the three coaches turn you down. You got to have a plan, man. And they don't have a plan now. I mean, I don't know what the hell they're going to do. And I don't understand it.
Here's my problem with the Knicks firing Tibbs, Will Hill. A year ago, Tibbs got a three-year, $30 million extension. You knew exactly who Tom Thibodeau was as a coach when you gave him that extension. He's not going to change. He's the same guy today as he was a year ago when you gave him that $30 million extension. After you give him the extension, he takes you on the deepest playoff run you've had in 25 years. You lose to the Pacers in six games. I get it. He's not the perfect coach, but you knew what his flaws were a year ago when you gave him the money. The extension has not even kicked in yet, and you fire him as coach. What did he do between last year and now that made it a fireable offense? Can you explain it? We both know Tibbs is not the perfect coach, but you knew that a year ago when you gave him 3 years and $30 million.
When you lay it out like that, it doesn't make a lot of sense. It was a harsh move to have Thibodeau bring this team as far as they went. They upset Boston, and we were doing the show like maybe 3 weeks ago on that Friday night when they were killing Boston. Garden's going crazy, going to the conference finals for the first time in forever. I mean, if you would have told us then, hey, they're going to fire the coach here in a couple weeks, I said, there's no way. So
right. From
that standpoint, it's extremely harsh. It's extremely unfair. Not that either of us are crying for Thibodeau. He's got a lot of money coming to him and doesn't have to do anything. Just sit home and watch those checks clear every week or 2 weeks. That's got to be a good feeling. But one thing I was thinking about, you know, I've been told that Brunson's dad, Rick Brunson, who's mm-hmm. a coach on the team, Jalen Brunson's their best player, that Rick Brunson, the coach, and Thibodeau weren't exactly buddies, weren't having dinner together, didn't see eye to eye. I wonder if there's something there with Jalen Brunson, Rick Brunson, and Thibodeau, because, again, usually your star player, if not asked for these kind of moves, at least signs off on it. You'd think they'd at least go to Jalen Brunson and say, hey, we're thinking of making a move. What do you think? I wonder if there's something there that there's more behind the scenes, because on the court, it's just hard to argue with the results, even though neither of us think he's a perfect coach, doesn't use the bench enough, not innovative, all of those things. To fire him after a conference finals appearance, just there's something to me that doesn't add up.
Okay, so that's a valid point. I've heard the same thing about Rick Brunson, but why would you give Rick Brunson the power over Tibbs? If you just gave him 3 years and $30 million, why would you let Rick Brunson win the war of egos with your head coach, who's built a winning, who's created this winning,
winning environment, winning culture?
Culture is the word I was looking for. I was going to say character. Yeah. Winning culture within that Knicks organization, which has been a laughing stock for a long time. They've been losers. All of a sudden, they have a winning culture. Tibbs built that, and now you're going to say, "Well, we're going to side with Rick Brunson in this." Battle of egos between the head coach and the assistant. Yeah, I don't necessarily get that either. And I think that a year ago when you gave Tibbs the extension, the same thing was probably true, right? He and Brunson were probably not seeing eye to eye. They were probably not the best of friends.
Right.
I just don't know why management would let Brunson win that argument unless the GM, Leon Rose, really doesn't like Tibbs either. But again, if that's the case, why'd you give Tibbs the money last summer if you weren't crazy about him as coach? But Barkley's point's one I wanted to follow up here on, because I said, all right, this doesn't make any sense to give the guy $30 million and then fire him after your deepest playoff run in 25 years, unless you have a coach waiting that you know can take you to the next level. This is the guy you covet, and this is the coach you're going to hire. And he can take you to the next level. Kind of like the Bulls did when they fired Doug Collins and they elevated Phil Jackson. And that worked out well for the Bulls, to say the least, worked out well for the Bulls in the 1990s. Maybe the Knicks had a plan and they knew who they were going to hire. They're going to bring in Ime Udoka. Who knows? The Knicks have been denied permission to speak to all the preferred coaching candidates, Jason Kidd, Udoka, I think Finch in Minnesota. They've been denied permission to speak with all these coaches. Well, it's pretty obvious the Knicks fired Tibbs and they had no plan. And that's why Barkley is making the point that they have to be the dumbest organization in the league. how do you fire a coach like that when you owe him $30 million and you don't have a plan? You don't know that you can hire Jason Kidd as his replacement.
Yeah, the Heat, another example. It was 2005. They fired Stan Van Gundy. Felt unfair at the time. Riley comes back, coaches, brings him to a championship. But they didn't have that plan set up. So, I mean, I saw today Shams tweeted just recently, maybe in the last hour, they're going to interview Mike Brown and Taylor Jenkins. Jenkins, all right, not a bad coach. Did a decent job with the Grizzlies. Mike Brown, we know what we're getting with him. He's a journeyman coach. He's okay. He won Coach of the Year. Did a decent job with the Kings a couple years ago. But if Mike Brown's the answer, I don't know what question you're asking.
The question would be, why would you fire Tibbs? To hire Mike Brown? Are you kidding? You would fire Tibbs to hire Mike Brown? Come on. Mike Brown, who wanted to draft Anthony Bennett, number one, in 2013, to go full circle on that conversation we've had tonight.
Yeah.
Hey, look, if you've got – I would even say if you've got Jeff Van Gundy there, if you're going to bring back Van Gundy, you want to fire Tibbs, fine. I love Van Gundy as a coach. I think that would make sense. But apparently – Van Gundy's not in the cards for the Knicks. We haven't heard anything about that. As we speak, SGA knocks down a elbow jumper, and it's 74-70. Gilgeous Alexander now has 20 points. Well, he piles up these points, and a lot of times he does it quietly. You don't even realize how big a game he's having. You look up, he's got 20-some points, and that's the case tonight. Doesn't feel like he's done a whole lot, but all of a sudden he's got 20 on the board, and the Thunder back within four.
It is a quiet 20, and OKC draws a turnover, offensive foul, moving screen on the Pacers. So Pacers got this up as high as 8. OKC has rallied back here. Looks like Caruso draws a foul, but it's going to be waved off, not going to be in the act of shooting. So it looks like it's going to be side out for OKC. So far, Indy plus 6 has been the smarter bet. If you want to bet smarter this football season, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a full year for just $199 plus a free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, a no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter NFL bets. Sign up now and get instant access to a daily email with all the best bets from hosts and their guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access on the VSiN Watch app, plus our 2025-26 NFL betting guide dropping July 1st. Don't miss out on this limited-time offer. Go to VSiN.com/subscribe, use the promo code book, VSIN.com/subscribe. The promo code is book. The Thunder are within 2. So when we come back, we will keep an eye on this game, talk all the baseball, maybe talk some US Open. We will be back. VSIN, VSIN, the sports betting network.
All right, we're going to get an update on US Open golf from Sam Cooney, Circus Sports Golf odds maker, in a moment. Will Hill, to follow up on the conversation we had about Tom Thibodeau not developing his bench, how about Obi Toppin? Here's a timely reminder. Toppin was the 8th overall pick in the 2020 draft by the Knicks. I love the pick at the time. Tibbs never really figured out how to use Toppin correctly. Toppin just hit back-to-back threes. You said the Thunder were within 2. It was 74-72. 3 by Toppin. 3 by Toppin. 80-72. Pacers take the lead with 4 minutes to go in the third quarter. How about that surge by Obi Toppin? Instant offense, Will.
Obi Toppin picked by the Knicks ahead of Tyrese Halliburton in that 2020 mm-hmm. draft.
Tyrese Halliburton in the 2020 draft went number 12 to Sacramento after Toppin went number 8 to the Knicks. All right, let's talk some golf with Sam Cooney, Circus Sports golf odds maker. We're at the halfway point of the U.S. Open, headed to the weekend. And just as everyone expected, the leaderboard is Sam Burns, J.J. Spahn, and Victor Hovland. Sam, welcome in tonight. What do you make of the first two rounds, which have been extremely bizarre, with a bunch of big names headed home for the weekend, a bunch of big names barely making the cut? And I got to think this is a bookmaker's dream at this point.
Yeah, we've done all right so far with the carnage involved and some of the bigger guys missing the cut. Bryson missing the cut was not good for us, as well as Neiman. But we took a bunch of money on Sam Burns to miss the cut, and we were pretty stubborn on that one. So that was a pretty good one to get. But no, I think the first 2 days have definitely been interesting with the course, but with the rain and everything that started at the end of the round today, and it looks like it's going to kind of proceed throughout the night and into the morning, I think we're going to get a little bit of a different golf course tomorrow.
Only 3 players under par after 2 rounds. That's 3 players out of 156. And Bryson DeChambeau bombs. He misses the cut. Rory McIlroy birdies two of the final four holes, including the 18th, to get in on the cut line. He barely makes it. So did you take – I know DraftKings took a lot of money on Rory to miss the cut, and he actually made it on the last hole. You said you took a lot of money on Bryson to miss the cut as well?
Yeah, we took actually quite a bit on Rory to miss the cut as well. So him kind of sneaking in there was all right for us. He had to break a tee marker along the way, of course. Yep. But, yeah, he's an interesting one.
Will Hill, you've got Victor Hovland in your pocket. How do you feel heading to the weekend?
Tentatively optimistic, which is all you can be when you're, you know, you got one of these guys that's in the mix. But Sam, I'm curious, from a bookmaker's perspective, how challenging is it? Is it challenging when you have a field that's so bunched together to make prices on top 10, top 20, where so many guys are clumped together here and really anybody can make a run to a top 10, top 20?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to come down to the wire here, it looks like. I like your Hovland bet, especially with it being wet tomorrow. I think that suits him with his ball striking and distance off the tee. And he even gained four strokes around the green today, which is the worst part of his game. So that's exciting for you.
Yeah, should be fun. I'm curious, Scheffler, seven shots back, the plus 800 or so number. How do you get to that number? Do you think that's a fair price, or do you have to shade it lower knowing people are going to have an appetite to bet Scheffler regardless of, you know, how far off he is, as long as it's within reasonable distance?
I mean, he's by no means out of it, but at our current price, I believe we're still the best price in the world at plus 850. We're looking to write some bets on Scheffler for sure. Like I said, he's by no means out of it, but at 8.5 to 1, I'm definitely looking to write some bets.
Sam Cooney, Circus Sports Golf Odds Maker, with us after round two of the U.S. Open. The adjusted odds board is up tonight. And can you talk about the guys at the top? Sam Burns, what you had him at pre-tournament, what you have him at now, as well as Victor Hovland and J.J. Spahn.
So I think we closed around 70 to 1 on Sam Burns and about 50 to 1 on Hovland. Can't remember exactly. Spahn was 140, I think we talked about yesterday.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, any of these guys can win. Can J.J. Spahn continue to pull every putt he looks at? Probably not, but he has been finding a lot of fairways and hanging in there. So it should be a really, really exciting finish. And there's still some big names back there. I mean, you got Brooks Koepka lurking around, John Rahm lurking around, Colin Morikawa. I'm definitely looking forward to it.
I was going to say, how many players do you think could win the tournament at this point? We were talking about this before the show. Scotty Scheffler, or early in the show, we were talking about this tonight. So Scotty right now is seven strokes back of the lead. Would you say most of the players that are within seven strokes of the lead still have a shot to win this thing? Do you think it's wide open going to the weekend or not?
Yeah. I mean, if you're seven back, you're kind of like Daniel Berger's also seven back. We have him listed at 120 to 1. Robert McIntyre, 145. So, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but it's definitely starting to dwindle down. But with tomorrow being so wet and expecting the scoring conditions to be pretty easy and scoring average to be quite a bit lower than what we've seen the first 2 days, it's going to be a true moving day. So anything can happen. The course is still going to play tough and the rough's going to be wet and whatnot, but no wind and soft conditions. I think we're going to see a lot more birdies than what we've seen so far.
Quick update in the NBA. Will Hill, I know you're watching this as we're talking about golf. The Thunder have fallen behind by 10 here.
Looks like it's going to be 3-1. I know there's a long way to go and it's the NBA, but it looks like the Pacers are on the door here of making this a commanding 3-1 series lead.
Wow.
Fascinating here, development here with the Pacers and the Thunder.
86-76, Pacers with a 10-point lead with less than 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. All right, back to the golf. Sam, when you see guys bombing like Bryson DeChambeau and Shane Lowry, who was 17 over, and so many big names either barely making the cut or missing the cut, and then you have lesser regarded players who are at the top of this leaderboard. How do you explain what's happened here in the first 2 days at Oakmont?
I mean, it really just comes down a lot to the mental game, I think. These guys that have a tendency to explode, like Shane Lowry, we've seen multiple times over the last month. And, you know, going back to his last round at, in 2016 when he choked the lead, I mean, he has yet since then to play this golf course well. So I really think it's going to take a lot of patience, especially on Sunday after it dries back out a little bit. And you need a guy that's just going to stay focused on the next shot and not really worry about the result of the shot he just hit.
All right, tell me which player you give the most hope to over the weekend. I'm looking at the adjusted odds board. Adam Scott, right around 15, 16 to 1. John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, right around 22 to 1. And Colin Morikawa, 35 to 1. Of that group, Adam Scott, John Rahm, Brooks Koepka, Colin Morikawa, who do you like most going to the weekend?
Adam Scott, for sure. I mean, if he was a shot back, I'd probably have a different answer. But with him being too clear of Koepka, I still like Scott quite a bit. He's striking it well. It'd be a pretty cool story to see him win, too. I mean, I heard this morning, I mean, he's played in like 90-some consecutive majors. And seems to be a fan favorite. He'd be a good result for us, so I wouldn't be complaining if he got there.
All right, again, Sam Burns, Victor Hovland, J.J. Spahn, Scottie Scheffler at the top of the adjusted odds board headed to the weekend at the U.S. Open. Last thing for you, Sam, how about a couple of the under-the-radar guys? Do you like Ben Griffin or Russell Henley? Those are two names that aren't going to be talked about a lot, but these guys are in the hunt.
Yeah, certainly those are two guys that are still in it. Ben Griffin, for sure. He's first U.S. Open appearance, and he's acting like a true veteran out there. And Russell Henley's the kind of the guy that always just creeps around a little bit. Both of them have been hitting a lot of fairways and have shown the ability to go low. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with those two tomorrow.
All right, Sam, appreciate the update on the golf, and best of luck in your tournament with Nick Bogdanovich on Saturday morning. Get up early.
I appreciate it. Thanks again for having me.
All right. That's Sam Cooney, Circus Sports Golf Odds Maker. He's got to play in a tournament early Saturday morning, and he's working on golf odds all weekend. U.S. Open at the halfway point at Oakmont with Sam Burns, top the leaderboard, followed by J.J. Spahn and Victor Hovland. Will Hill has Victor Hovland at 60 to 1 in his pocket, and that's why you see that big smile on his face right now. Also, he's got the Pacers, plus 6, and that's why he's smiling. Pacers up 87-78, final minute of the third quarter. OKC Thunder, the vaunted OKC Thunder, dominant favorites in the NBA Finals with their backs to the wall with a quarter to go here in Game 4 in Indianapolis. We're going to wrap it up here on VSIN Primetime. Quick break. Back in a couple minutes to see if the Pacers can finish off the Thunder and take a 3-1 series lead. This is the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
About to start the fourth quarter in Indianapolis. Wes Reynolds, Pat McAfee must be fired up. Pacers up 87-80. Will Hill's happy. He's got Pacers plus 6. And right now 87-82. Thunder get the first bucket of the fourth quarter. Will Hill, you know this is going to get tight down the stretch. I think the Thunder's going to make a big run, have a shot to pull this one out. But right now they got their backs to the wall. And how about the past two quarters? Thunder held to 23 points in each of the second and third quarters. Their offense has really slowed to a stop here in the last couple games in the second half of Game 3 and in the middle quarters tonight.
Caruso hit a three not that long ago. It was only their second made three of the night. For a while, they were, you know, 1 of 10, 2 of 12. I'll check the box score here in a second, but the three ball just has not been a factor. Well, makes up for it a little bit. I think 22 of 24 from the free throw line. That'll help. That'll make up for some of the efficiency. But if the three ball is not going, especially against the Pacers, you're going to have a hard time. But like you said, a long way to go. But as we see now, 89-82, the Pacers are going to score here after an OKC miss. A 3.5-point live favorite are the Pacers. I'd be tempted at some point here. I'd probably be tempted now to jump in plus 3.5. I just think OKC makes a run. I think it's some point here, like you said, 2-point game, now. Tie game.
Yep. Obi Toppin.
Yeah, it's tempting.
Fast break dunk by Obi. Hop up 5.5 now. You want 5.5? See, that's why you got to pulling the trigger at the right time. It's a big part of this live betting. You take 3.5, and then 15 seconds later, you could have 5.5. 89-82 is the score. DraftKings showing the Pacers 5.5-point favorites, total 220.5. Pacers now minus 250 on the money line. I'm with you. I think right now I would have to take OKC plus 5.5. The Thunder have got to have a big run, at least one more big run in them here. And we got 10:30 to go. Well, that's a long time to play here. Down 7, you got to take the plus 5.5, don't you?
Yeah, it is a 7-point game. Siakam is going to the line for 2, but I'm going to take a little bit of the plus 5.5 here. Why not? We do have something interesting, though. DraftKings leaves up the futures prices, so basically a series price. The Pacers, for the first time, are odds on to win the NBA championship, minus $1.20. The Thunder are even money. How about that?
Well, up 3-1, even though the Thunder's going to be big favorites in the final three games, if there are three more games after tonight. I could see that. Pacers being 120. Pick them to 120 range. I said I thought the Pacers win tonight. They're going to win the championship, so I wouldn't be betting OKC after tonight. I want to point this out. We got a tweet from a viewer, Kevin Ryan, and this was about some point in the third quarter. He says, if OKC stops shooting threes and every possession they drive to the hole and tell Chet Holmgren he can only shoot if it's a dunk, they will win. Am I wrong? I will say this, Will Hill. I think Kevin Ryan is on to something a little bit more. Maybe he should be coaching OKC. This team is 2-for-14 from three tonight. I get tired of watching Chet Holmgren drift around the three-point line. He's 0-for-2 from three tonight, 2-for-7 from the field. It feels like the Thunder have stopped attacking the lane, stopped attacking the basket, and they're not a team that can make up a big deficit because they can't hit threes in bunches. And they're 2-for-14 from three tonight. I think Chet Holmgren's been, I would say, pretty disappointing in this entire series. I have not liked the way he's played. Somebody's going to have to step up here. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander has 20 points. He's only got 2 free throw attempts. No three-pointers made tonight. 89-84 with 10 minutes to go. Pacers lead by 5 after these 2 Holmgren free throws. He was fouled on a drive to the basket there. So the three ball has been a big problem for OKC tonight. Well, as you mentioned, Caruso just hit one. Now it's 2-for-15 from three.
But as we say that, we have an 89-86 game, and it's basically a coin toss. Pacers $1.35 on the money line, 2.5-point spread. So this game, man, as much as any game you and I have done together in these last couple months, this game just perfectly illustrates the value of live betting the NBA, because there's swings one way or another, and it looks over and it looks like this team's out of it or this team's about to pull away.
Yep.
And you just see so many different runs. So at the end here, you know, 9 minutes and change to go, a 3-point game, pretty much what we both expected, a nail biter, an intense game, a close game. And you could have really, you know, look, you can't sit here with a crystal ball and know when every team's going to go on a run. But if you time this properly or even somewhat properly, you can get some fantastic live numbers betting the NBA.
This game has been the prime example of that tonight, basically from start to finish after the Pacers got off to a hot start tonight. Now it's a 3-point game. You just talked a couple minutes ago about taking the Thunder plus 5.5. Now it's 2.5. Totals dropped. The total was as high as 240. Now it's 219.5. And we've seen some big moves in the live lines tonight. I guess my speech fired up Chet Holmgren. He SGA missed an open three. Holmgren grabbed the offensive rebound and put it back in, and that's how we have a 3-point game here, 89-86. It's interesting how the scoring slowed down tonight. 69 total points scored in the first quarter, and that's when that total soared up to around 240, the live total. Only 48 points in the second quarter, 50 points in the third, and the Pacers only have 2 points in the first 2.5 minutes of the fourth quarter and lead 89-86 with 9.5 minutes to go. Again, 3-point shooting, 2-for-15 from OKC, 11-for-31 for the Pacers. That's 35.5%. Not great. But the free throw shooting, well, as you mentioned, 24 for 26 for the Thunder. And that's why they're within three right now with the shot to win this game. And there's a championship on the line here. Well, I feel like there's a championship on the line. The Thunder need to come back and win this game. If they do, I think they win the series in seven. If they lose this game tonight, I'm going to say the Pacers are going to be NBA champs. How do you feel about that?
Completely agree. I love it. The NBA times can be tedious, monotonous, especially in the regular season. You get load management. You get a lot of meaningless games. But this is awesome. I don't care. Two small market teams and all of the things that have hurt the ratings for this. I could care less right now. This is awesome. This is just great sports, great theater. The Cinderella Pacers, the big favorite of OKC in trouble. 2-1, title on the line, close fourth quarter. You really can't ask for much more. And we don't have the volume on. I can barely hear it. But I'm sure that building is just beyond loud here, which adds to the environment. And look, the Pacers, both of these teams, it's not like these teams win championships every year. This is special for both fan bases. So should be a really fun 9 minutes and change here coming up to close this game out. I don't know how you feel. I've got a feeling the Pacers just haven't put them away and they're going to regret it. I think OKC sneaks out a close win.
I think right before the commercial break, I saw Wes Reynolds on camera with his shirt off, going wild, swinging his shirt in the air, bare-chested, trying to get this Pacers crowd fired up along with Pat McAfee. Hey, introducing the $500 trifecta from GBank First Bet and VSEN. All you need to do is open a GBank Visa Signature credit card. In the first 90 days, deposit and play through $1,000 of First Bet to trigger the $500 try. You receive $200 in cashback rewards on your GBank Visa Signature credit card. First Bet will give you a $100 deposit match. VSEN completes the trifecta with a free pro subscription through October 31st, a $200 value. That's the $500 trifecta from GBank, First Bet, and VSEN. Go to vsen.com/GBank. It's a one-time promotion limited to customers opening a new account in response to this offer and does not apply to requests to convert existing accounts. Apply today. Terms and conditions do apply. The $500 try from GBank First Bet and VSEN. Will, we haven't talked about it much, but the Stanley Cup final has been great too. And it's a classic. We're going to game five in Edmonton. After that big comeback last night, Oilers were down 3-0 after the first period. Come back to win 5-4 in overtime. And game, we only have one day off, Will. How about this? Only one day off. Between games 4 and 5. Oilers right now at circa -125. That's pretty much the market number painted across the board. Total of 6 shaded under -120 or 6 shaded over -125. Any thoughts from you on where the Stanley Cup is headed as I take a jello shot here to wrap up the show tonight?
I picked Oilers in 7, so I just hope they split the next two. I'll say the Oilers win game 5, Panthers win game 6, and then we'll see what happens in a game 7. I'll say home ice prevails here, but I do think, I'll put it this way, whoever loses game 5, I'll be betting in game 6. I think we're getting a 7th game, but I think the Oilers do win a game 5. How was it?
I think actually Jello Shot's pretty good. Our producer's drinking one in the back, too. We got a camera in the back. Everybody here is doing Jello Shots. We have a challenge. We're trying to compete with the guys in Omaha. By the way, update, Oregon State blew the 3-1 lead in the 9th inning. Beavers came back to win 4-3 with a run in the bottom of the ninth. So Oregon State wins and advances in Omaha along with the VSIN crew. How about the Oklahoma City Thunder making a run here? Got it within one with 8 minutes to go. Stay tuned after VSIN Primetime for the Sports Gambling Podcast with Sean Green and Ryan Kramer. Stick around.